السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا، أحسن الله إليكم.
أمين وإياكم يا رب. عبد الرحمن، how are you؟
الحمد لله بخير.
يوسف،
نعم يا شيخ.
How are you going without it؟ إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. In continuation of our book Al-Adab Al-Mufraj by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari Rahimahullah, we will be reading from Babu Laysa Al-Mu'minu Bit-Ta'an. Babu Laysa Al-Mu'minu Bit-Ta'an. You can also say Babu Laysa Al-Mu'minu Bit-Ta'an. The chapter about that the Muslim, mu'min, the person of Iman, the person that has perfected the attributes of Iman, the person that has Iman perfectly with him, sound Iman, laysa bit-ta'an, such a person will not be ta'an, a person who goes, he does much of mentioning and going about pointing out the faults of the people, making about belittling the people, going about speaking evil, attacking the reputation of people. It looks for a ta'an, yata'an fihi, ya'ibuhu, goes about mentioning the faults of the people. If we look at this word ta'an, you see it is from the aspects of al-mubalagha. It's an intensified statement. That's what he does all the time. That's what he does all the time. So much that he became known for it. His character is that all the time he has a character trait, negative. All the time he goes about defaming the people. He goes about smearing the people. He goes about denigrating the people and belittling them. This kind of a person is called a ta'an. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he says, Laysa al-mu'min bit-ta'an. The mu'min, the person of Iman, Laysa bit-ta'an. He would not in any way be a ta'an. Ta'an is the defamer. He does that all the time. He's known for it. All the time. He's making ta'an, mentioning faults, defaming the people, attacking the reputation of the people, denigrating them, belittling them, and so on. So such a person is referred to as ta'an. This kind of an attitude is not from the character of the people of Iman. A person of Iman who has found Iman, he does not have that character. He does not have that negative character trait. Imam al-Bukhari said, Laysa al-mu'min bit-ta'an. Before we proceed, if we go on to the next chapter, in this chapter, there are about 7 ahadith. So we have a lot of narrations to mention regarding this negative trait. In the next chapter, we see Babul La'an, the one who is regularly begging Allah to direct evil to people. This La'an, Yal'an, always is directing curse on the people. At-Ta'an, he's mentioning the faults, going about with it. That's why At-Ta'an is also is close to slandering. is also close to Al-Ghiba, going about mentioning the faults of the people, except that Al-Ghiba, the ulama say, is restricted to when he does it behind him. He goes about يَذْكُرُ أَخَاهُ بِمَا يَقْرَأُهُ الْأَخِ. He goes about mentioning the faults of the brother behind the brother. That is ghiba. He does it behind him. As for ta'an, he does it behind him. He does it in front of him with the evil intention of bringing him down. This is ta'an. Always be that. As for Allah'an, he begs Allah to bring evil to that person. He begs Allah to bring that person into evil and distance that person from his mercy. La'an. La'an begs Allah to bring evil to the person and distance that person from his mercy. That is La'an. Ta'an. He mentions the faults of the people, defaming them and finding their faults, talking about them, speaking evil against their reputation, defaming them, smearing them, belittling them with the sole purpose of spreading evil. Sometimes to the sole purpose of bringing two people to a quarrel. So he goes to spread the evil regarding this. He goes to spread evil regarding this. And then two people begin to come to a quarrel. These are all of the jobs of Fa'an. As for La'an, he begs Allah to bring La'an. He begs Allah to distance that person from goodness. That's a curse. That's La'an. That's also Al-Ayyab, the one who finds fault in something. Something is sound, is good. All that he wants to direct the attention of the people to the faults in those things, which is hardly ever completely absent in anything that the human being does. So these are the issues bismillah we'll be handling in the next couple of classes. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari says, rahimahullah, Babu laysa al-mu'min bi-ta'an, the chapter about a person of iman cannot be ta'an, a person who is always mentioning the faults of people and going about belittling them. And he takes that as a character. May Allah protect us. That hadith will come, the first hadith we'll read out of the seven under this chapter heading will come under hadith 309. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Abdul Rahman ibn Shaybah, قال أخبرني ابن أبي الفديك عن كثير ابن زيد عن سالم ابن عبد الله قال ما سمعت عبد الله لاعنا أحدا قط ليس إنسانا. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا عبد الرحمن بن شيبة قال أخبرني ابن عبد الفديك عن كثير بن زيد عن سالم بن عبد الله قال سمعت عبد الله لاعن ما سمعت عبد الله لاعنا أحدا قط ليس إنسانا. وكان سالم يقول قال عبد الله بن عمر قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا ينبغي للمؤمن أن يخون لعانا لا ينبغي للمؤمن أن يكون لعانا. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله. الإمام البخاري in this book الأدب المفرد he said رحمه الله حدثنا عبد الرحمن بن شيبة. عبد الرحمن بن شيبة he is عبد الرحمن بن عبد الملك بن شيبة. عبد الرحمن بن عبد الملك بن شيبة. So when he is mentioned as عبد الرحمن بن شيبة, he is mentioned in ascription to his grandfather. So that means if you have a boy, his name is Abdullah, His father's name is Abdul Rahman. His grandfather's name is Abdul Rahim. It is lawful to ascribe him and say he is Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahim. There's no blame. You have a son. His name is Abdullah. The father's name is Abdul Rahman. The grandfather's name is Abdul Rahim. If that boy is called Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahim in an ascription to the grandfather, there is no blame, because in Islam, the grandfather is also father to him. So he can ascribe to his father. So he can say the boy is Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahim. The early Muslims used to do so. And here is one of the examples. The teacher of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he is Abdul Rahman ibn Abdul Malik ibn Shayba. And Al-Imam al-Bukhari will refer to him as what? Abdul Rahman ibn Shayba. I hope that it is clear. He said, Akhbarani ibn Abi Fudayk. Ibn Abi Fudayk, he is Muhammad ibn Ismail. He is Muhammad ibn Ismail. Ibn Abi Fudayk. Ibn Abi Fudayk. He is Muhammad ibn Ismail. Ibn Abi Fudayk. The same thing happens here. Muhammad ibn Ismail, the person's name is Muhammad. His father's name is Ismail, and his grandfather has a kunya, Abu Fudayk. So here is ascribed also to his grandfather. That's why he's also called Ibn Abi Fudayk. So Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail, he is Abu Ismail al-Madani. Muhammad ibn Ismail ibn Abi Fudayk, rahimahullah. He is reporting from Kathir ibn Zayd. Ibn Abi Fudayk is reporting from Kathir ibn Zayd Abu Muhammad al-Madani. He is the reporter of this hadith from Salim. Salim ibn Abdullah is the son of, or one of the sons of, Abdullah ibn Umar, the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Abdul Rahman. Abdullah ibn Umar, he had a son, and that boy was called Salim, rahimahullah. And I think it's necessary that you mention that Salim, the son of Abdullah ibn Umar, was one of the teachers of Al-Imam Malik. Salim, one of the sons of Abdullah ibn Umar, was one of the teachers of who? Al-Imam Malik, just like Nafi'. Nafi was the freed slave of Abdullah ibn Umar. So he used to be referred to as Nafi, Mawla Abdullah ibn Umar. Nafi, the freed slave of who? Abdullah ibn Umar. Nafi was also from among the teachers of Al-Imam Malik. Al-Imam Malik learned from the children and from the students of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you hear Malik say, Haddathani Salim and Abdullah ibn Umar. Salim told me that his father, Abdullah ibn Umar, said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at this isnad. Beautiful isnad. Very beautiful isnad. Malik from Salim, from Abdullah ibn Umar. Or Malik from Nafi, from Abdullah ibn Umar. Rahimahumullah. So Salim was one of the children of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma. He said, Ma sami'tu Abdallahi la'inan ahadan qattu. Salim said, rahimahullah, regarding his father, Abdullahi ibn Umar, he said, Ma sami'tu Abdallahi la'inan ahadan qattu. Ma sami'tu Abdallahi la'inan ahadan qattu. Ma sami'tu. I never heard Ma Samitu Abdullah. I never heard Abdullah referring to his father, Abdullah ibn Umar, in a manner that he would easily recognize. Ma Samitu Abdullah, la'inan ahadan qattu. I'd never heard Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, la'inan, never heard. Never been in a place where he will now be swearing, he will now yell and he'd be begging Allah to bring evil to a person. And he never heard it. Ma samitu abdallahi la'inan ahadan qattu. It never happened at any point in time. And you see, that's what qattu, you would notice that a nafi had come before it. Ma, it never happened. So it's about zarfu zaman. It never happened at any point in time that I heard my father raining a curse, begging Allah to distance someone from his favor, that Allah should distance a person from his rahmah. I never heard my father say that qattu at all, laysa insanan, except regarding one person. He did that once. I never heard him do that, except once. And the ulama, if we, Al-Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah, when he gave a discussion regarding this hadith in Silsilatul Ahadith Al-Sahihah, he mentioned the report of Al-Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Dunya, that this hadith occurs as illa marratan, that is, Salim was saying that ma samitu Abdullah la'inan ahadan qattu illa marratan. I never heard my father Abdullah la'inan ahadan qattu, begging Allah to distance a person from his mercy, begging Allah to curse someone, begging Allah to direct evil to that person, illa marratan, except just on a single occasion. And Al-Imam Al-Bayhaqi rahimahullah mentions that occasion in Shu'abul Iman, that Abdullah ibn Umar had was annoyed one day with one of his slaves. I think we had read a hadith similar to that in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. He sent the slave on an errand, and he gave the errand very badly. And Abdullah ibn Umar became very, very angry. Upon his anger, he said a statement of la'an to that person. And what he did afterwards was to free that slave. He freed the slave after he said that la'an to him in a way of feeling remorseful and returning to Allah. One of the things he did, radiallahu anhuma, Abdullah ibn Umar, was to free that slave. So that was the single occasion Salim said that he heard his father raining a curse, directing a curse to a person. Otherwise, Salim would say, ma sami'tu Abdullah la'inan ahadan qattu. I never heard Abdullah ibn Umar la'inan ahadan, saying la'na, directing a curse to anyone, laysa insanan, except one person, aw illa marratan, except on a single occasion. Wa kana salimun yaqul. And from the things that Salim, the son of Abdullah ibn Umar, would say is that qala Abdullah ibn Umar, my father Abdullah ibn Umar said that qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, la yanbaghi lil mu'mini an yakuna la'ana. This is the major point of reference. La yanbaghi lil mu'min an yakuna la'ana. Salim said, my father Abdullah ibn Umar said that the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, la yanbaghi lil mu'min an yakuna la'ana. La yambaghi, it is not appropriate. La yambaghi, laysa sha'nuhu an yakuna la'ana. It is not appropriate. It is not from the traits of a person of Iman. It is not from the trait of the person of Iman an yakuna la'ana, that he becomes known to always, regularly, all the time, la'an. La'anis al-mubalagha, always. So we'd understand that Abdullah ibn Umar was not la'an, even though he gave a la'an on a single occasion. The ulama explained that this would mean that yes, sometimes you can find him, one occasion, two occasions, but it is not something that he will become so used to it that if you want to mention his character, one of the ones you would mention is to say that he is always costing the people. He's always mentioning their faults. لا ينبغي أن يكون المؤمن لعانا. It is not appropriate that a person of Iman, that has sound Iman, now becomes ascribed in his character to cursing the people, speaking evil regarding them. This is not from the traits of the people of Iman. Once Iman is established in the individual, from the aspects of Iman, is that such a person is not a person that can be described with the evil trait of he's always cursing, or he's always cursing. When that becomes a character trait to the person, that is evidence for his little Iman. It shows that his Iman is little. It shows that he has faults. It shows that he has serious blemish. So as an individual, we all must be sure that we don't go about mentioning faults of people all the time, directing evil to them, mentioning evil regarding them, as a person who curses would do. If a person begins to curse and curse and curse, this begins to reduce his Iman, because the things that are not lawful reduce the Iman of the person who does them, just like the things that are lawful and encouraged or even obligated on us, they increase the Iman of the person who does them. When you begin to curse and curse and curse, your Iman will be gradually diminishing, because cursing an act of sin, except in those cases where the Sharia has allowed a person to curse the other person, like da'watul mazlum. Someone cheats you, it is lawful. And that's why the Prophet warned those people who cheat others. He says, ittaqu da'watul mazlum. Be careful, beware of the curse of the person that is oppressed. If you cheat someone, if you deceive someone to his property, if you deceive someone to his possession, in deceit, you cheat him to it. Ittaqu da'watul mazlum. This can happen as a man can cheat his wife. This can happen as a woman can cheat her husband. From it is as small as you can think of. A woman is giving money, buy food to the house. She divides the money into two. She uses half of it for her, whatever she desires, and then she uses the other half to get what the husband wants. And even though this kind of a woman is a woman that the husband fulfills all her needs as far as the Sharia is concerned, within limits, yet she still goes ahead to steal her money or divert the money or divert. It can happen to the man. Some men are also wicked regarding their wives. They treat their wives so badly. This is good. Likewise, in the places of work, Allah says, وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْخُلَفَاءِ لَيَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَقَلِيلٌ مَعَهُمْ. It says, وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْخُلَفَاءِ majority of those who relate to themselves, لَيَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. You see one part of them oppressing the other part. If you oppress someone, if you direct zulm to someone and then he curses you, he has a right to curse you. These kinds of curse do not come under this category. If you behave in an unlawful manner towards a person, and by way of fighting for himself or fighting for herself, the person curses you, don't forget, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ittaqu da'wat al-mazlum. فَإِنَّ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٌ. Because there is no barrier between that cause and Allah, Allah will answer the call. The ulama say, even if that person be a non-Muslim, if a Muslim oppresses a non-Muslim, and that non-Muslim says a statement of course to that Muslim, they say that it will be as they have said. So abstain from oppression, abstain from zulm to the people, so that you do not become a person that will be cursed. That was why the Prophet also said, alayhi salatu wa salam, in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, ittaqu al-la'inain, ittaqu al-la'inain, abstain from al-la'inain, two things that cost you. As if those two things you should avoid are themselves things that will cost you, but they have been so referred to because they make people curse you. Avoid two things that when you do them, people will curse you. The Prophet mentioned a person who will defecate in the path of the people. There's a road people pass when they go to fetch water or when they go about their needs. You come and defecate there. You know the spontaneous response of those who see that they tend to curse such persons. Which bad person did this? Which bad-headed person did this? And so on and so forth. Don't do things that will make the people curse you. Don't also anger them so that you don't agitate their cause. In the Quran, Allah also mentioned another simple thing that can make people curse the people. Hiding the truth. It says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. Those who يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى, they hide what we have revealed from the clear messages and guidance. They hide it. They hide ma anzalallahu fi kitab. Allah says, ulaika yal'anuhumullah. These people, Allah curses them. Wa yal'anuhumul la'inun. Yal'anuhumul la'inun. Those who also curse, or will curse them too. Every right-thinking people who sees, who does this kind of thing, who did this, who did that, it can lead to a curse. So avoid what will make you be cursed, justified, what will make you a person that, yes, they can curse you. So if you avoid this, those who curse you, then they are the ones that have the blames of cursing. Otherwise, some of the people always are upon actions that make the people curse them. We'd remember someone in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who applied heat, who was burning a camel to the extent that camel began to remove smoke from his nose. What did the Prophet say alayhi salam? He says, La'ana Allahu man fa'ala hadha. The curse of Allah be upon the one who did this. He burnt the camel. He was burning the camel so much that smoke was coming from the nose, alive, like that. It brought a lot of hardship to it. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we read it in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. La'ana Allahu man fa'ala hadha. We also remembered a neighbor who used to bring harm to his neighbor. The other one went to complain to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until he had to bring all his luggage outside. So the Prophet said, take your luggage, keep them outside. So every person who passed by him was asking him, why are your luggage outside? He said, my luggage are here because my neighbor is bringing harm to me. He's bringing disturbance to me. And then the people began to curse the neighbor. The Prophet affirmed what they did. So don't behave in such a way that people will curse you. And then you begin to say, they are cursing. Adjust yourself. So why it is not encouraged for a Muslim to be just cursing. La'an. Al-iksaru fi la'an. Because it can happen once or twice, like it happened to in the case of Abdullah ibn Umar. It says, Ma samitu Abdullah يلعن أو لاعنا قط إلا مرة. I've never heard my father Abdullah cussing except once. So it can happen. It can happen. But he is not a la'an. A person that his job is just all about that. The mu'min is not such a person. And this will come under our chapter heading, because when you curse the person, you start to mention evil regarding the person. You can't curse a person except upon a mention of evil regarding the person. So that will be from the aspects of at-ta'an. When he becomes la'an, a person who begs Allah for evil to be afflict someone else, he intrinsically is also being ta'an, is also directly ascribing false, ascribing evil to that person regarding whom he sends his curses. I hope that this hadith is clear. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this kind of a negative attitude of cursing. La yanbaghi lil mu'min an yakuna la'ana. It is not appropriate. La yanbaghi. Just like Allah said, la yanbaghi lil rahman an yattakhidha walada. So from the statements, from the expressions of an-nahy, from the expressions of prohibition, from the expressions that show that something is haram, is that it says what? La yanbaghi. So here the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yanbaghi lil mu'min. It is not appropriate for a person of iman. It is not from the attributes of iman. An yakuna la'ana. That a Muslim is always making la'an. Because that will push him to always say negative about the rest of the people of iman. La yanbaghi lil mu'min. It means that it is prohibited for a person to be la'an. And there's a difference between la'in and la'an. La'in is someone who just does it. La'an is someone who, that is his job. All the time he's making la'an. The first one, a Muslim, a mu'min can fall into it, more so if he has a justification for it. The second one, no person should be in it. La'an. The one always making la'an. This is not appropriate with respect to a person of iman. And not being appropriate that we mean here does not mean he can be. No, don't do. Avoid. Avoid being a la'an. Don't forget. There's a difference between la'an and la'in. La'in is the one who just does it. It just happens. La'an is the one who takes it for a job so much that it becomes a character trait. Each of them, I think that we should, for as much as possible, avoid. It also goes to make us understand that we should try as much as possible to be from amongst people who swallow our anger. We swallow our anger because sometimes anger makes you begin to mention people and mention them with faults, speaking evil of them, belittling them, angry with them, denigrate them, disgracing them. This is very, very common, especially some of the ulama, when they discuss this matter, say, what really, really brings about this? See, one of the things that brings about this evil character is arrogance. One of the things that leads to a person being la'an all the time, or ta'an, yet anfinas, where you see him bilisani, is pointing towards their mistake, error, that all the time, is that he's arrogant, because he sees himself as perfect. He sees himself as intelligent. All others are not intelligent. They are foolish. He sees himself as brilliant. You know, he sees himself as rich. He sees himself as complete and perfect. Because if the person truly recognizes that he also has faults, he will not be a person who is pleased so much that it takes it for his character trait to always mention and go about defame the good name of the rest of the people. If the person recognizes that he himself has faults, he will do very, 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 very less of that, and only as is absolutely required. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la yanbaghi lil mu'min an yakuna la'ana. It is not lawful. We can interpret it to mean like that, because we've said that la yanbaghi is from the expressions that show that something is what unlawful, just like Allah said in the Quran, لَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَنِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا. It is not appropriate for Allah al-Rahman that he should take a son. Likewise, لَا يَنْبَغِي لِلْمُؤْمِنِ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَعَانًا. It is not lawful that a person of iman now becomes a person who is regularly cursing the people. And cursing the people is from the aspect of directing evil mentioning to them. You'll be mentioning them with evil when you curse them. That is the connection with actor an. When a person is la'an, begging Allah that evil should reach somebody, he necessarily becomes what? Ta'an. Because that is also mentioning the people and ascribing them to evil. May Allah protect us all. The next hadith that follows, hadith 310. الإمام البخاري سيد رحمه الله حدثنا محمد بن سلام قال حدثنا الفزاري عن الفضل بن مبشر الأنصاري عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن الله لا يحب الفاحش المتفحش إن الله لا يحب الفاحش المتفحش ولا الصياح في الأسواق إن الله لا يحب الفاحش المتفحش والصياح في الأسواق. الإمام البخاري سيد رحمه الله حدثنا محمد بن سلام. محمد بن سلام was one of the teachers of الإمام البخاري رحمه الله, and that is الإمام محمد بن سلام البيكالي أبو عبد الله. From amongst the first persons that Al-Bukhari took knowledge from amongst the first persons that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari took knowledge from, was Muhammad ibn Salam Al-Bikandi Abu Abdullah. This hadith is also from him. He said, Haddathana Al-Fazari. Al-Fazari is Ibrahim ibn Muhammad. Ibrahim ibn Muhammad Abu Ishaq Al-Fazari. He is reporting from the tabi'i of this hadith, Al-Fadli ibn Mubashir, Abu Bakr al-Madani. Al-Fadli ibn Mubashir, Abu Bakr al-Madani. He is the tabi'i of this hadith. It's a weak reporter of hadith. Al-Fadli ibn Mubashir is the weak reporter of hadith. So this is not as it is. It's a weak isnad, but the content, the matter of this hadith is pointed to in two different hadith in their various expressions. So we say this isnad is da'if, but the narration has corroborating evidences that show that the meaning is correct, even though this isnad is sahih. If a person says that this hadith is Hassan al-Ghayri or Hassan al-Shawahid, I will not argue with him. But the hadith with this isnad is da'if. And the person who is weak in it is Al-Fadl ibn Mubashir Abu Bakr al-Madani. But he loves of the hadith. We shall go back to it, inshallah. They are shown in other narrations to be authentic. So we can say the hadith is Hassan. We can give any of those rulings of acceptance, inshallah, because the hadith has shawahid, it has corroborating evidences that point to it in other authentic papers. In it, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiallahu anhuma, Jabir was a companion. His father was also a companion, Abdullah. That father, the father of Jabir, passed away on the day of Uhud. Those of us who go to Medina and then we visit Uhud and then we visit the Maqbara at Uhud. One of those who was buried at the Maqbara at Uhud, where we visit when we go for Hajj and we pray for the dead at Uhud. One of those who passed away there was who? The father of Jabir, Abdullah. He passed away at Uhud during the battle of Uhud. So Jabir ibn Abdullah, when we mention him, we always say radiyallahu anhuma. May Allah be pleased with Jabir. May Allah be pleased with his father Abdullah. Jabir said, "Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna Allah la yuhibbul fahish." Inna Allah la yuhibbul fahish. Allah does not like the indecent person. Allah does not like the indecent person. Al-fahish. Inna Allah la yuhibbul fahish. Allah does not like the person who is indecent. Allah does not like it. Whether that person is indecent in his speech, and by that he becomes Quran. I hope that it is clear. Inna Allah la yuhibbul fahish. Allah does not like the indecent person, al-fahish. Maybe al-fahish fi al-qawd, or al-fahish fi al-af'al. Imma qawlan aw fi'la. Whether the person is al-fahish qawlan in his speeches, aw fi'la in his actions. Allah does not like al-fahish. And al-fahish is a person who is indecent. Is indecent. When he speaks, you hear indecency. So from the indecency you hear in the speech of people, they are belittling others. Belittling others. He belittles every person that he relates with. You employ the service of a carpenter. Because you employ his service does not make you the creator of the carpenter now. Does that mean that you made him? So when you begin to address him, you begin to become vulgar. He begins to feel uncomfortable. How does this man speak to me like this? Don't be a fahish. Inna Allah la yuhibbul fahish. Be respectful in your speech. You employ the service of an electrician. He comes to your house to fix a bulb. Should you be indecent in your speech to him? Don't be indecent in your speech. Should you be indecent in your actions to him? Don't be indecent in your actions. Allah does not like indecency in speech. From the aspects of indecency in speech, is speaking to belittle him, making fun of him. Allah does not like this kind of a person who goes about belittling the people. And that's usually, like we said, people do that out of ignorance. They think that they are rich, they think that they are educated, they are knowledgeable, they are emotionally intelligent, they are well placed in the society. There are so many things people think about. And as a result of that, they go about making fun. They go about making aib with people, ascribing indecent statements to the people. Mind your tongue when you talk to the people. Allah does not like indecency. Inna Allah la yuhibbul fahish. Allah does not like a person who is innocent in his speech. Al mutafahish. Who goes beyond bounds. He speaks indecency and indecency and goes beyond mutafahish. Al fahishul mutafahish. Allah does not like him. He is indecent and he goes to any length in that indecency. Al-fahish is indecent. Who goes to any length in indecent speech? For the sake of Allah, let us not be like this. Inna Allah la yuhibbul fahish wal mutafahish. We said that the isnad of this hadith is da'if because it has Al-Fadl ibn Bashir in the isnad and he is a weak reporter of hadith. He has Al-Fadl ibn Mubashir in the isnad. And he's a weak reporter of hadith. In other expressions in the books of hadith, he says, "Inna Allah yubghidu al-fahish al-mutafahish." Inna Allah yubghidu al-fahish al-mutafahish. That is one of the corroborating proofs. Inna Allah yubghidu al-fahish al-mutafahish. Allah is angry with al-fahish, the one who is indecent. Al-mutafahish. Who goes beyond limits in his indecency. When he speaks to the people, he speaks indecency to them. He talks to them as legs. And that also contradicts that verse in the Quran, where Allah commanded us, says, "Wakulu linnasi husna." When you speak to the people, "Kulu husna," say what is good. Say what is good. It happens many times, and we Israelites should go and be careful about this. Most times, when we engage the people, artisans, we are usually denigrating. You speak, you denigrate them. Allah does not like this kind of character. Allah is angry when it becomes that this person, that is his job. When he speaks to the people, he's denigrating them. And I say this again, many of us who use this English language very well, we know how to use it. We know the expressions to choose. That those expressions, every reasonable person who hears it knows that it is containing, denigrating expressions that belittle the person that you are directing it to. So you'll be saying that, did I abuse you? But you know that that's why there's a word called innuendo. Some people are chief users of innuendos. When they speak, innuendos are expressions that indirectly insult the people that to whom such expressions are directed. We are good users. Whether we are writing, we use innuendos well. Whether we are speaking, we use innuendos well. So every intelligent person who listens to you, he does not like to talk to you because he knows that all your expressions, your statements will be full of innuendos, indirect, insulting the person indirectly. This is not good at all. Inna Allaha yubghidu al-fahisha wal-mutafahish. Allah is angry with the person who is indecent in his speech. He is also indecent in his actions. Some of us are very, very coarse in our actions. Very coarse. Very, very coarse when we relate to the people. This is very bad. We bring that coarseness to our wives. We bring those coarseness to our children. We bring the coarseness to co-workers. We bring coarseness to our brothers that relate with us and go about with us as friends. For the sake of Allah, watch your tongue. Watch your tongue. So in this statement, in this hadith, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhuma said, "Inna Allah la yuhibbu al-fahish al-mutafahish." We see that it has a corroborating evidence in another hadith. "Inna Allah yubghidu al-fahish wal-mutafahish." Allah is angry with al-fahish, the one who is indecent in his speech or in his actions. Wal-mutafahish, the one who goes beyond limits. He goes to any extent. This person is the one that is referred to as what? Mutafahish. The one who just does it, this fahish. The one who goes to any length to do it, this mutafahish. So if you escape being a mutafahish, are you not a fahish? If you escape tafahush, are you not into al-fuhush? That's why there's another expression of this hadith where the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, "Inna Allah la yuhibbu al-fuhsha wa al-tafahush." Allah hates fuhsh. Allah la yuhibbu al-fuhsh. Allah does not like indecency. Wa al-tafahush, and going beyond limits in indecency. He does not like that thing itself. He does not like those who do it. So for the sake of Allah, let us abstain from this. That's why Al-Imam al-Bukhari has placed that hadith under this chapter heading, "Laysa al-mu'min bil-tu'an." All of these that we have been talking about, they are not from the traits of a person of sound iman. When we begin to hear it from a person, we know that he is a person with faulty, weak iman. A person with sound iman is not a person of al-fuhush, indecency in speech. Neither is he a person of tafahush, going beyond bounds in indecent speech, in obscene speech. Some of the people go into obscene, indecent speech in the name of joking. That is another deceit of shaitan in our own times. They say it is prank. They say it is joke. They say it's in vogue. They say it has gone viral. does that mean you too should be involved in it? Oh, reasonable Muslim. Oh, reasonable Muslim, should you also be involved in it? When something is fuhsh, indecent, when something is tafahush, going beyond limits. One example of indecency is people commit zina. One evil about tafahush is that they bring it to the public. You see the difference between al-fuhsh and tafahush? The two of them. Inna Allaha yubghidu al-fahish al-mutafahish. Allah is angry with the person of fahisha, with fuhsh. La yuhibbu al-fuhsh. So to commit zina, for example, is fahisha. To bring it to the public is tafahush, because that is going beyond limits. It's worse. This is the kind of generation we are now. People commit these kinds of evil, and the rest of us begin to comment about it. You are commenting about fahisha. May Allah protect all of us. So likewise, some things people refer to as jokes, many of them come under fahisha, out of fahish. They say, oh, Ustaz, it is ordinary prank now. It is an ordinary prank. But Allah is angry with you. So may Allah protect us. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhuma said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن الله لا يحب الفاحش المتفحش. Allah does not like al-fahish, a person who gives indecent statement or indecent action. Al-mutafahish, who goes beyond limits in his indecent statement and in his indecent action. Yatakallafu fi nutqi bil fahisha, goes, yatakallaf, goes beyond limits. That is tafahush. In the second expression in the hadith, it says, walafayaha fil aswaq. As-sayyahu fil aswaq is a person who is always raising his voice in the market. He goes to a supermarket, and then the attendants are attending to him or to her. With the slightest excuse, he goes on, starts shouting in the market. Starts shouting, sayyah. And that became a trait for him. He is always doing it, or she's always doing it. With the least provocation, he wants to take something from the counter, from the shelves. He took it, and then they start shouting. Or he wants to pay, and the pay point, people they lose patience, and then become so angry. They begin to abuse the person on the counter, the cashier. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Do you know where I've come from? Do you know the car that I'm driving? Do you know the house that I'm living? Sorry, we know. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has told us that Allah does not like this kind of your character. We know your house. We know you are a PhD. You are a professor. We know that you are a rich man. But please, Allah does not like this your bad character. What is that? Shouting in the markets. You can decently request for what you want without shouting. And then everybody gathers around you. Sometimes the fact that people gather around you should be the reason why you should avoid to do something. If you don't respect that, don't forget that Allah hates that character. The person who comes and starts shouting in the market. As-sariyahu fil aswaq. Inna Allaha la yuhibbu al-fahish al-mutafahish. Was-sayyaha fil aswaq. Allah does not like an indecent person who goes. Allah does not like al-fahish al-mutafahish, a person who is indecent, who goes beyond bounds in indecency. وَلَا صَيَّاحَ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. Likewise, الصَّيَّاحَ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. If you remember, we read a hadith in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, regarding the prohibition of shouting in the markets. So these two expressions about al-fuhush and raising the voice in the markets, they are expressions that have corroborations from other ahadith that are authentic. That makes the ulama grade a hadith to be sound sometimes and sahih sometimes because of corroborating evidences. All of these come under at-ta'an. It says, Babun, laysa al-mu'min bit-ta'an. The person of iman cannot be ta'an. The person of iman cannot come to the market. Sound iman will prevent you from doing that. Come to the market to start shouting. So when we see that, it is from the symbols of weak iman. When we see a person shouting in the market, oh, this person has faults. He has faults in his deen. He has faults in his deen. Or we call someone is obscene, mentioning obscenity about the rest of the people, degrading them, belittling them. He goes about attacking the reputation of others. And that, unfortunately, has become what many young people think it is normal to do. They think they can insult anybody. And they start saying in a joke, me, I no get shame, I can't talk to anybody. You're a shameless person. So do what you like, but don't forget, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُغْزِدُ الْفَاحِشَ الْمُتَفَاحِشُ. Allah is angry with you. And you are out of arrogance and ignorance connected to it, saying that me, I no send anybody. Right? Allah is displeased with you. May Allah protect each and every one of us. I think we all need to go back to the drawing board about these matters, because these are things that are very, very common in our own times. These are things people, we need to go back to make good tawbah to Allah regarding them. May Allah forgive each and every one of us. I think we can go to questions now about Yusuf, because we already spent the time. So the question here, about Yusuf, there's a question here. My fiancé normally belittles me whenever he's angry with me. He sometimes helps me out with things, and anytime he gets angry, he uses his favors to abuse me and sometimes my family. What is the ruling on this? And what hadith can I reference to him to make him stop this behavior? We can give him these kinds of hadith we have read in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that to abuse the people, to belittle the people, to disgrace the people, and bring them the name is not appropriate. Not appropriate to disgrace the people, attacking their good name, to denigrate them, to defame them. It is not from the ways of the people of Iman. But I always say to, like I had said in this class, you also be sure that you avoid the reasons for those things. If someone belittles you, don't do something that makes someone belittle you. Don't do something that makes someone denigrate you. Yes, that you do something that makes someone belittles you does not justify belittling. So, but you avoid it so that you help that person to avoid what he does to you. If a man does this to his wife, it's not lawful. If he does it to a person that he has not married, it's not lawful. And I'd like to advise you to reduce interactions with a man that you have not married. Reduce interactions with him. Go and marry him if you want him. Go and marry him. But usually when a man begins to show tricks like this, he will not do more than that inside marriage itself. So be careful, seek good advice, look well, be sure that your actions before marriage and when you get married are in consonance with the Sharia. May Allah protect each and every one of us. So the question here is, the discussions are on politics and the truth is being said about the aspirants, though to disparage them, belittle them, and they are Muslims. Does the fact that they are aspirants is truth make it lawful or something? Well, the politics we play and the way we play them has a lot of things that are unlawful. The politics itself, our system itself, is unlawful in our deen. It's in direct conflagration with our deen. So many times what you find in it will be things that Islam does not like. The system, the entire political system we run, democracy as we run it, the democracy itself comes in complete conflagration with our deen. So where are you, how are you going to find things in it that are not lawful? Many things inside it will not be lawful. Many things in it will not be lawful. So if there is a process to select a ruler, you have a group of noble, eminent people in the society who will select the ruler. But in democracy, you bring a tout, you bring a drunkard, you bring someone who deals in riba, you bring someone who has a brewery to select a ruler for you. So is it not all wrong from the foundations? They are all wrong from the foundation. The foundation is wrong. You want Islam to talk about it up. The foundation Gaga is wrong. In democracy, you bring a drunkard, you bring a person who deals the riba, you bring a prostitute. The vote of a learned, pious, very exposed person who knows who should be a ruler is the same with one harlot somewhere. The two of them are the same in democracy. In Islam, are they the same? So if you want to be bringing the rules of Sharia into these games that people are playing, you have a lot of troubles. You have a lot of troubles. You come in the public to start mentioning public office holders, rulers of the people, demeaning them and disgracing them. Is that part of Islam? Well, you shouldn't do it to a Muslim. Should you do it to a ruler, to the head of people? But the entire process itself is a faulty one. If it is within group of 10, group of 20, 30, 40, eminent persons, eminent people of nobility, character, good knowledge, good experience about administration and management, these people sit down to select 1, 2, 3 persons to be the ruler of the country. Then they can start talking about the virtues, the pros and cons of choosing 1 or 2. Let's choose this one. This one is more knowledgeable. This one is more experienced. Because rulership is our experience and open-handedness. Youths, go and know this. Rulership, leadership is about experience and open-handedness. We read a hadith here where the Messenger alayhi salatu salam asked that a ruler be removed because he was a stingy person. Rulership is about open-handedness, about brilliance, about intelligence, about living experience of life. It's not just about, I know how to do it. It's about a lot of things put together. Control, ability to hold the people together. So when the elders who have all these positive qualities sit down, in the interest of the generality of the people, they appoint a ruler to rule the people. But when you say everybody who has something to say should come and say to appoint a ruler, then you have a problem. And this is democracy. So how then will the force of the leader, even if he emerges as a leader tomorrow, his dirty linens are already on the streets. They're already on the streets. So the entire process itself is a problem. The entire process itself is a trouble. May Allah protect each and every one of us. We can now begin to ask, so what will we do? Beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the major things of sabab is dua. Beg Allah, particularly in the circumstance that you are. You beg Allah, Allah give us the one that is of a less evil in all of this. Beg Allah, but don't contribute to that evil. May Allah protect each and every one of us. I think that suffices on that question from that brother. Naam. Can we have a question from you, Abba Yusuf? Perhaps you'd read a question or something. Abba Yusuf.
Naam, jazakum allahu khairan wa shukran.
Ameen.
Someone asked, is it right for our Muslim sister to post their pictures online, covering their faces with emojis?
The first thing is taking the pictures itself. Is it lawful to take a picture? The strongest view of the ulama is that it is not lawful.
Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, La'an Allahu al-musawwirin. May Allah's curse be upon those who make images. The pictures are images. The hadith is clear. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La'an Allahu al-musawwirin. The curse of Allah be upon those who make images, who make pictures. And you make a picture. The picture is image. He's talking about the one who made it. So if you cover it with emoji, have you not made it already? So you cross the first boundary. You are now asking about the second one. But what does the emoji change? The emoji is another image you have brought. So you are just flying from fire pan to fire. You have just increased the trouble. The emoji is another image. It's another diagram of another human image, something that has life. So what have you done? You have not done anything. The third thing is the shamelessness that many women have fallen into today, snapping themselves. When scholars say, some scholars say, even though that position is a weak position, that people take pictures and that the pictures today people take does not fall. Is that excuse? Are those same scholars you will quote to justify taking pictures? Do they have their own daughters and sisters on social media? Some people have gone so shameless that they even use Muslim women to make advertisements. When did that start? Muslim women became the object of advertisements. When did that start? When did this shamelessness start? When did we become an ummah that does not have any sense of protection for our women, exposing them, bringing them to the public to assess, and be the reason why a person is inviting, because the pictures in an advertisement must be inviting. It must be attracting the attention of the person reading the message. And the bait to that invitation is a Muslim woman. When have we, our men become the youth? Does a father become a person who cares not about his daughter being the one that is an object of advertisement? When did we become an woman like this? When did we become an ummah that a brother cares less about his wife being the object of advertisement, the object of attracting attention? When does your wife become that? When do we become an ummah of the youth? When? When did our women become people who do not feel any sense of shyness away from men? When? When did we become this? And then we begin to ask this question. They cover it with emoji and all of this. They have do clear-cut pictures without emojis. May Allah protect us. I think Shaitan, Allahu Alam, in these generations is playing with a lot of people and their minds and how they want to find justification for things. May Allah protect each and every one of us.
I mean,
we spent the time already. Can we stop here?
I mean,
salam alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.